Hello and welcome to the 6++ Show, a podcast for your wargaming and 40k needs. Hobby talk, tactics, tournament reports, lore and much more. We have it all. Please welcome your host for the evening, Tom.
Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and boomdacker snazwagons to that 6++ show. I am your host, Tom. I am back with the 6++ team to give you the very best 40k content on this cold Tuesday night. And I'm joined by a whole host of reprobates, and tonight we're going to be talking about projects, new projects in 40k, the ins and outs, the do's and don'ts, tales of disastrous failures, of which we have many, and we're here to share with you, but also a little bit about how you can succeed and go forwards with confidence in your 40k project life. Before we do any of that, I'm going to introduce you to a bunch of people, starting as ever with my dear leader, Chris, I think. Chris, is that you?
It is me. Surprise, guys.
I just want to say I loved you in Disney's 2012 film, Brave.
Thank you very much. Absolutely.
Looks more like Tangled.
Yeah, it's going to... Going to break out into all the songs from Annie. Oh, it's him. Look, it's him.
Me. Surprise.
For all the podcast listeners, yeah, Chris is wearing a ginger wig. But it's gone now. Chris, that ginger wig is vaguely familiar to me. Is it from some recent thing that you might have done?
Yeah, it's from the As of Yet award winning trailer that we recently produced last night. I was looking through the channel, and when you hit our channel, you see the trailer. Now, the trailer I was really happy with, but it's 3 years old, and we kind of don't do those sorts of things anymore, so it was time for an update. Meanwhile, I thought I could have a go at a little skit and take some shots at other channels as well, so if you want to have a shot at Vanguard Tactics or take a shot at Art of War, then I'll manage to get some in there as well.
But I do regularly.
Yeah, it's good. It's worth a watch if you haven't seen it. The trailer is good fun. It probably does get you a bit closer to where we're at and what we actually do in the moment. As you say, that old trailer is lovely, but it is very old. Have you got the bug for skits now? Are you going to be doing skits all the time?
I think so, you know what? It was one of those things. So I did it last night and I uploaded it and I was like, I don't know if I want anyone to see this. So I'm not actually going to share it. I'm just going to let, and maybe it'll just, you know, slide under the radar. No one will comment. But you know what? Apparently people have enjoyed it.
It's really funny. So, it's a good time.
Yeah, you know what? I do have one skit scripted from ages ago. I'll have a go at that, put it out as a short. We'll just see how it goes, really. But awesome. I'm sure, obviously, we've got many people, hilarious members of the team who
we actually do. Quite a funny team.
Pretty hilarious.
Wonderful. And have you done any hobbying besides making nice trailers?
So obviously I haven't been on the show for a few weeks now, just had stuff going on, and my motivation for 40k kind of just dipped off because of that stuff. So I have played one game of Warhammer since ITT, which was over a month ago, and I've spent about 3 evenings painting. That's probably it. So I've really just taken a big step back, but I'm starting to get back into it now.
Nice.
Yeah, so I've been painting some Grey Knights. I painted five more Grey Knight Terminators, so I have 10 painted now. And my test game was a Grey Knight test game into Jamie Clifford's Tau, which was really good fun, actually.
Nice.
Pretty standard list, I think, 10 Paladins, 10 Terminators, 4 Dread Knights. It was very different, obviously, to the Eldar. Really enjoyable to use, though. So I've got to try and get that painted. I've got an RTT in a couple of weeks up in Norwich. I'm just going to take the Eldar because the Grey Knights won't be painted, see if I still enjoy the Eldar now that we don't get all the bullshit anymore. So, I'll give them a run out. Might even still go Double Night Spinner because no one's playing Double Night Spinner at the moment. So I might play that and see if actually is there a reason why no one's playing it.
You'll get a reaction for sure, so that'll be fun.
3D cannons, 2
heavy fucking sigh.
Come here for a fun RTP? I don't think so. Yeah.
Just when
then
you
there's this dickhead.
there's always one, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
I'll give it a go, and if I'm like, this is why people aren't running 2 night spinners anymore, then I can just do what everyone else is doing and just play MSU and Melda.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. Okay. Well, I'm also joined tonight by Ed, the lovely Ed. Ed, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm all right. Tail end of a chest infection, but I haven't actually felt too ill for the last week or so. Just coughing up phlegm on the reg.
You know. Nice.
Yeah, got that death rattle.
It's good. Just really shake through the lungs. That's nice.
Yeah, it's all right. My job involves me talking for 8 hours solid, but it's fine. Don't worry about it.
As does all of your fun time with us. It's just never ending talking.
Well, you couldn't pay me to shut up.
No, that's true. Actually,
I'm glad to see that Gordon in the chat recognizes the order of importance. He says, "Good to see you, Ed, and the rest of you." So,
Gordon, I don't love that, man. What's that about,
Gordon?
You're right in my good books.
Kind of hierarchy establishing is that? I don't like that at all. But I guess you've been sick. Have you managed to do any hobby or gaming of any kind?
I've done a lot of old world stuff.
Yes, you have.
Started doing some old world battle reports.
Yep.
In the White Dwarf vein, top down representations using a universal battle. They're a lot of fun to make. They're a surprising amount of work. I've got a second one in the pipeline, which is going to be Ogres versus Warriors of Chaos.
Amazing.
It's going to be a lot of fun to record. I've got another game tomorrow. My mate Rory, who I was meant to be playing last week, and then he was like, "Can we reschedule? I'm on the next flight to Berlin."
That happens.
Because that's the sort of people that I rub shoulders with. just on the reg, he's like, "Yeah, no, I've got to reschedule Berlin, mate."
But, when Berlin calls, you answer, I guess.
Yeah, well, he had a good reason to go. But
excellent.
Yeah, no, other than that, a little bit of 40K. I've played one practice game with Custodes in the last week. I was trying to get more, but weirdly, Paul James, who is normally, you know, thirsting for games, we had one booked in, and then he had to turn me down because he had real-life commitments. But that's fine. I'm not bitter about it at all. I know. I think he's probably played, like, 7 games over the last week. So, you know, the fact that he let me down is it cuts deep, honestly.
Yeah. This is Paul James, who came back from an RTT or GT on day one, having played 3 games already and then played a TTS game at home before going back in the next day. Sometimes he's just a bit nuts, but that's all right. We love you, Paul. The old boss is really exciting, and they do look really cool, these bat reps. So I'm looking forward to seeing more. I actually bought the rule book today. I ordered it.
Very nice.
I ordered the old world rule book, and I ordered an orc battle wagon. That was my order. I was like, I'm going to get me some treats for end of term. I'm going to play around with those. It's going to be fun. So me and Chris have an idea where we might play and record our first game of Old World and just not have read the book and just put stuff on a table and just try and work it out and just give it a go and see how wrong
it can only go well.
I think it'll go great.
I can't see how it'd fail. So
I think it'll be content for the ages, and I think the internet will love it because they love mistakes. They just love them. They just lap those up. I think
rumor has it that people do like to comment on battle reports telling you what you've got wrong.
It's very good.
In very high detail.
Yeah, I learned that you only get Lance on the charge. So thanks, internet. You know, we get little bits of feedback sometimes. Yeah, it's handy. It's handy.
Shrooney just became a member in chat and also said, "Wish we had an old world scene." Well, you know, I might be tempted to play some of the nearest and dearest viewers who have been around from day one. So, if you want to play on Universal Battle, drop me a message. I'll probably be down if schedules
that
line
sounds
up.
Great.
You've been around for ages.
Shrooney says Total War is the closest I got. Total War is amazing, and that is very much a big part of the old world hype for me is Total War. I'm excited. I'm playing Beastmen, and on Total War Warhammer, if you haven't played Beastmen, it's the best campaign because you just have your stack of goats and you run around burning stuff, and at some point you lose a battle and then that's it, you're done, because you only have your one stack of goats, and if someone has your number, you just all die, and you're like, okay, I can't recover from this. I quite enjoy that. It's a fun way to play the game. We also have... John Scriven's in the chat. I'm going to introduce him before shouting out our crew in here. So, John, how you doing, mate?
Hi. Yeah, not too bad. I've been doing a lot of housekeeping hobby-wise. I realised that I had probably, I want to say 6,000 points of Uruk War Clans that I've not really looked at since the firmly established Tale of Plus Gamers this time last year. So I kind of went, that box needs to go.
That's fair.
I don't feel interested. I've got a load of Skaven. Not looked at them since probably OS2, so I was being a bit ruthless, and now I've got the space, and like I looked behind me and I was like, there's an empty cube in my Kallax,
and
that
in your
obviously
heart
means I have to start a new project. So I did some research ready for today's show. I'll save it for later, but I have started a new army project.
Yes,
did
he has.
Some research.
I had my opportunity for some enabling, because he was mooting it. He was mooting it in WhatsApp with me yesterday, and you could tell he was really, really wanted to get started, but he was talking about money and responsibilities. And I was like, oh wait, don't I owe you money for like striking scorpions and beastmen and stuff? What if I just sent you this amount of money right now? Would that change the way you were behaving in any way? So naughty. I am one of life's enablers. Stay away from me. Don't go anywhere near me. Right, okay, who's in chat? So we've got DreadMad93 in saying, and we're live because we didn't. Well spotted. We've got Let's Talk Wargaming, that'd be Dom, saying, hey lads, are you boys at Manchester? I don't think any of us are at Manchester as far as... Oh, Ed is at Manchester.
Ben,
fantastic.
Well,
okay. Sorry, guys. I'm not at Manchester, the centre of my own universe.
Therefore,
so I mistakenly decided anyone else.
Not a lot of the team is, but you know, if anyone is who is free, come say hi. I'm almost nice in person.
Ed's very nice in person. You might even have a waistcoat on if you're lucky, but I doubt it.
Not this time.
So yeah, there'll be a couple of us up at Manchester. Gordon Chung is in. Obviously, Gordon, I'm not sure where I stand with you now that you've said good to see you, Ed, and left me second, but we'll move on. Patrick says hello. Sharuni is in. Mechanicus is in, Pickleax is in. Sharuni became a member, which we really appreciate. So please, if you haven't become a member and you'd like to, absolutely do that. It keeps us in nice things. We appreciate that a lot. And Pickleax is blooming. Pickleax is, so have you noticed these? We've got microphones for fans of our recent audio levels and the variety of quality. We had a moment. We took a long, hard look at ourselves and we went and bought some microphones. So here we are. Hopefully you are reaping the rewards. Or maybe now you can hear us, you've realised we're detestable and you want out. Either is absolutely fine. Don't worry
about
it.
Seems more likely.
Pickleax says that no one wants to play Eds because he's on Custodes. I won't lie, Pickleax, I do not go looking for Custodes practice games, but some others are braver than me. And a lot of praise for Beastmen. Ultimate Funk is in. James Ellis is in. Oh, thank you very much, James Ellis. Appreciate that a lot. Wonderful. We've got a whole bunch of you here. We are ready to get started. But before we talk about projects, we are very, very good at self-promotion, possibly the best. And we're going to demonstrate that to you now with the Plus Roundup. Take it away, Capitan.
Oh, it's been so long since I got to do this. as always, if you enjoy our content, please do consider becoming a member. We've got different tiers and they give you different things that can include anything from just behind-the-scenes stuff to early access. So we're aiming it for so you get 3 days early access to any of our content. But then we also have a special Discord section where you can literally just ask us to produce content and we'll produce content for you.
We absolutely will.
We do that. And then also we even do coaching. And if that's the sort of thing you're interested in, just drop us a message on the Discord or something and we'll arrange that. We're not doing it fully through the membership simply because YouTube takes 30% of our earnings.
And they don't do 30% of the teaching, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, they do not. So that's why it's kind of just a little YouTube membership fee, and then we'll do a little bit extra on top after that. But yeah, drop us a message if that sort of thing something you're interested in. As always, if you are looking to buy more models, why not head over to Composite Games using the link in the description. Use the code PLUS and that'll get you over 20% off of your miniatures. In terms of content we've been producing, as Ed mentioned, he's done an Old World batch rep, the very first one.
Gone down a treat.
And it has gone down a treat. It's actually got over 1,000 views, guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's singing. It's going.
And it's got a lot of comments. I mean, yes, some of those are rules related.
Hold on, no. Let me just fucking do this. So I played against Jack Chapman, our lovely Jack Chapman, who was a viewer of the show, used to podcast. I can't remember the name of his podcast, but he used to be a competitive Ninth Age player. Now, Ninth Age was the game that came about when Games Workshop decided, fuck fantasy, we don't care for it. So he played a version of fantasy competitively. He's pretty good. He smashed me. Spoilers. You know, go and watch the video. I lose. however, in the video, I say a couple of times, this is Jack's first game. However, he's very good. Here are a couple of things that we got wrong. We talked about it, decided it didn't change the way the game was played. He could have done what he wanted to do. And then some bloke, and to be fair to him, he was very nice about it. And he did leave another message saying, you know, great video. But he left like 3 comments pointing out different things that I had pointed out were wrong. It's like, well, I don't know how you caught all of those, but not me saying, and this is where So if you want to wind me up, go and just leave me a video. I love it when people point out things that I've pointed out.
But I think actually the thing I quite liked is a lot of the comments are discussing kind of like tactics and things that could have been done and that sort
yes.
of thing. So I think that's quite nice because you don't actually get that in a lot of our other content. So that was really cool. It's in the old style white dwarf thing. So definitely check that out. As Ed says, you know, editing any sort of battle report does take quite a while compared to normal sort of stuff, but well worth the watch. So great job there from Ed. We have a matchup plus plus video all about Necrons. So Jack, Ed and myself spoke through Necrons, what they're good into, what they're bad into, different detachments, what things to consider when you're playing into Necrons and all that jazz. So that was really good. That's also out as a podcast on our stream. We've got Ed and Scrivo talking about the Black Rage and Sons of Sanguinius, and what they're doing is they're putting up each week kind of what do you want the next one to be, so as a vote on the poll. So make sure you check out our community page and you'll get to vote for who you want or what you want next as a detachment to be looked at. We've then also got Davey. So Davey went and produced a really interesting video all about Shadow in the Warp for his Bug Watch series. So he spoke about when to use it, its strengths, its weaknesses, that sort of thing. So if you could watch that video and then post in the comments telling him that his voice level is not high enough, that would be great.
He would love that.
Really enjoying responding to all of those comments at the moment. And then finally, as we said earlier, I have released a new trailer for the show, just 3 minutes or so. So check it out and then you can see what we are
about. And do let us know if you like Chris in, as a sort of skits producer.
Chris in a wig.
Chris in a wig. If you want different variety of Chris in wig doing skit, all you need to do is speak up and comment now and we can lock him into doing it basically all the time for probably years. So this is the time to speak up. This is how habits get set. And this is the time to tell him that you like his work and would like to see more of it. Alternatively, you can drive him out of the skit game for good as well. That's an option. But
absolute silence now, and we never see another skit.
That's so, the death of an artist.
This is literally content to hooks right here. You can make or break me.
Yeah, and we got a load more coming as well. So it's going to be a good few months on the content side. Thanks so much for the support. Obviously, on the
4,000 subscribers as well.
4,000! 4,000 subs, which is a tenth of the way to 40k itself, which is a big deal. That's where we're heading, and that means an awful lot to us. It's great to have so many of you joining in. Discord's absolutely thriving, and do keep on sort of supporting us any way you can. Every like, subscribe, everything else. Obviously, if you want to become a member, that's amazing as well. So massive appreciation. And Gordon Chung says you're actually my votant, Tom. So Gordon, if I'm your votant, then you are mine, and we're all good. We can move forwards. That's fine. Okay, wonderful. So that's the end of the Palouse roundup. So we can probably now move towards our main topic. And I wanted to take this in a projects direction. A projects direction, thinking about new projects in 40K and what I've termed sticking the landing, which you can interpret however you like, but I tend to interpret as getting broadly what you were hoping to get out of a 40K project. And obviously that already suggests that there's different things you can be trying to achieve. But I think we all attempt a lot of different stuff in 40K. I certainly don't achieve everything that I set out to achieve with my various different projects, but I have done it for a while now. And I think for those who are newer to this hobby or still starting out and still in the process of picking up new projects, and that's still all quite new for you, I think there's quite a lot of pointers and advice and tips that we've all picked up over the years that we can definitely share with you to help you get the most out of new efforts, new endeavors in this wonderful hobby of ours. So that is the goal for tonight. That's what we're going to be attempting to talk about. And it's not at all just because I've started painting some orcs today and I just wanted to talk about new projects because I'm just starting one.
What would I like to talk about? I like to talk about my new army. Okay, let's do a show about it.
Host privileges, baby. That's how it works. So where do we want to start with this? I think my first thought was to think about the different kinds of motivation you might have for starting a new project in 40K. If you're starting to pick up a new army, or starting to pick up a new range, or start to pick up a new way of playing the game, what kinds of reasons might you have for actually starting in the first place? I think if we can understand that, that might help us to think about where you can go wrong and where you can go right. What sorts of reasons have you guys started new projects? Let's go. Ed, you first.
Well,
you're all talking about it.
I want to just say it hasn't escaped my notice that you specifically phrased this episode as 40k. You have successfully stopped me from talking about Old World for another 50 minutes, so I just want
nailed
to congratulate
it.
You.
Absolutely nailed it. That.
Yeah. Don't worry about these orcs that are on my desk at the moment. Never going to be relevant.
Not yeah, what's the question?
what reasons have you started new projects, Ed? What motivations have you had? What rationales?
Realistically, recently, it's because I want to play them at a tournament. And that's sort of like, since coming back to the hobby, it's been a case of, what do I want to play at tournaments? I'm going to play that at a tournament. This is the tournament I'm going to play it at. Time to get cracking. And that's been like the big driving force for me.
Yes. And I think that's a big motivator for a lot of people, right? Picking up an army for competitive purposes, you want to go to some events or you want a change because whatever you're running doesn't do it for you anymore. And it's very much tied up with competing, competitive strength, competitive meta, other things, which has its own set of ups and downs, which we'll talk about in a bit. But I think that's a very big motivator. When I started my Eldar, I had been playing for maybe a year. I was just starting to actually understand the game and get a little bit competitive with it. And I asked John, what's good? And John said, Eldar are always good. And by God, John was right. And so and that's when I started painting my Eldar. And that was very much a tournament army of mine. It wasn't, you know, for the love of that particular faction as much. I do like Eldar, but they're not like my boys. And it was very focused on that. So I have my very rough and ready Ulthway scheme that I could get done nice and quickly and get out some events. Also my swooping hawks. Also double wraith dice, because I still have to do it my way. I don't make it easy. It's fine. That would have been sick at the start of 10th, though. That would have been really, really good. What other rationales do we have? How about you, Chris? What other motivations have you had to start projects?
So obviously, yeah, as Ed says, I mean, generally it will be, oh, this army is going to be good. But actually I can think of, one when I did that, it went wrong and then actually led to another reason why, which was in ninth edition. I remember listening to a podcast about how Top Player had played into, pre-codex, Gene Stealer comp. And they were saying, oh, these guys are really, really going to be really good when their book drops. I can just tell. I was like, So I bought up a load of cheap GSC, spent a month painting it, took it to tournaments and absolutely hated it with a burning passion, which is probably something we will we'll touch on later when we talk about things to do and not do when you're starting.
Yes.
But in that process, I played into Mark's Necron army and actually I was like, they look really fun. They just did a bit of everything. And I was like, oh, okay. And yeah, I just started collecting Necrons, started playing them, and they're really fun. So actually one way you might end up doing a project is simply because you play into the army.
100%.
And you think they look like a quite a fun way of playing the game. You know, there are, despite Games Workshop's best attempts, there are still some different ways of playing the different armies. So actually, sometimes there are certain methods will suit you more than others, and it's about playing the different armies and experiencing that. And yeah, definitely owe Mark, because he played that Necron army. It was a very generic bit of everything list, but I was like, oh no, actually, this does seem fun. Far more fun than me having 35 five-man units and spending 5 hours trying to work out what to deploy and what to deep strike down. So
I can identify with that, because in 8th edition, went to my first non-Games Workshop tournament. I can't remember the name. It was like Blood and Bollocks or something at the Roundhouse in Derby. Blood and Bollocks. And I went 1-4. I had a really bad time in terms of, like, I had a great, you know, enjoyed myself. And in my last round, I lost to Necrons, and he just did some bullshit where he flew over a plane, he jumped out a unit, he then Veil of Darkness to another unit, and turn one before I had a chance to do anything, half of his army was down my throat. I was like, ooh,
this is cool.
Now this I can get behind. Anyway, I got smashed so hard that I played Necrons for the rest of the edition. And it was great. Loved it.
We've all been there. You'll just see an army do something and it's just like, oh, that really appeals. I've been run over by orcs so many times in like the last 3 years. I've always played sort of thinky, spindly, here's my clever little dibbly army. And orcs just go, what if I just sat on your head. And something in that really appeals, and I'm quite excited to try it, because yeah, it's nice to try being on the other end of that sort of aggro approach. I'm increasingly into a more of aggressive way of playing, so it's quite going to be quite fun, I think, in that sense. So yeah, sometimes you are just chasing experience or chasing something that seems fun. Shout out to Spencer Owen, by the way, who's just become a member. We massively appreciate that, Spencer. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Do keep on signing up. Your support is really, really useful for us. It means the absolute world. Right, John, what's another motivation for starting a new project?
I think one is seeing rules previews and going, oh my goodness, doesn't that mechanic sound great? Should I not just build an entire army based on that one really good gun that that army has? I'm not saying it's a good one, right?
Has that happened to you this week, John?
No. So this is actually a slightly more well thought out one, but this is more for me. The example was, say, the Hammerheads in... Hammerheads, was it?
It was the Hammerhead gun that got leaked and broke the internet.
Preview, and then they did a preview article, and no joke, within 24 hours, every retailer had run out of stock of the product.
Yes.
So it showed people do fall for that, or...
100%.
Quite a big one I fell for was the 9th edition previews for Grey Knights dropped. Mm-hmm. And the rules sounded quite dynamic and different to what I was used to playing. So I was like, cool, I'm going to start building some of them up. Whether that project happened or not, we'll get into later. But there's often those sorts of situations where something sounds really great, right? And it's that kind of the reward of coming up with a new idea and then implementing it. Maybe slightly different things, perhaps.
Yeah, I think we can branch out on that and say we are all plugged into an enormous marketing machine that wants us to start new projects all the time. I think that's very, you know, we all follow the same information, we follow the same news, we get the same previews, we've all been at Christmas, we've all tried to get through Christmas without some extremely exciting new box getting our attention. None of us made it. Hello, all of our World Eaters players.
So many World Eaters.
I hope you're all absolutely loving your tuned down army. I hope you're having the best start to the new year that you possibly can be in that context. But those that, you know, that we get offers, we get deals, we get very exciting new releases. Votan for me was very much a case of that's just a whole new thing that hasn't existed before. That's amazing. I want in on that, right? And there's a sort of a sense of discovery in that. And so that's something to be aware of, because, you know, we only have finite money and this thing is going to keep shoving new ideas at us all the time. But it does make it imperative that you get your projects right, that you understand how to go about them well, save yourself time, save yourself money, save yourself dead ends. And that's what we're going to try and get into a little bit tonight. So let's talk about some projects that haven't necessarily made it, haven't stuck the landing. And let's see if we can start analyzing how and why that might be. I'm going to start. I bought some AdMech last year.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
And this is it. It's such a failure that I routinely forget I did it. And I don't know. I think I fell in love. And here's one of my weak spots is I just fall in love with a very particular bit of a rule set. That's what I'm very vulnerable for. So if it's like, if I read like the Night Lord sub-faction rules, and I'll be like, oh, I could do X, Y, Z. That's really exciting. I want to go and do that. And so in AdMech, I just liked Riser, the melee one. I was like, I'm going to do a melee AdMech. That's going to be great. I'm going to get a bunch of Rust Stalkers. And then I think I built one model and was like, oh, good grief, these are horrific. And then I also remembered that deep down, I don't really like Imperium factions very much. I don't really like ordered factions very much. They're quite samey looking and spindly. And I think I aged out of that project in the space of about 2 to 3 weeks. So that's me. That's my first example. Have any of you guys ever not successfully delivered a project?
So I'm quite well known in the team for my fondness of Sotek Green.
Yes, you are.
Most of my armies have some form of Sotek Green. And obviously, as we all know, the most Sotek Green of all armies is Alpha Legion. And I've always wanted an Alpha Legion army.
So, you actually have.
When it came down to, was it last year? We were like, we're going to do Crusade.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this is the perfect opportunity to do Alpha Legion. So I bought my combat patrol with the Maul of Fiend and all that whatnot. I went and bought a bunch of 3D printed custom heads. I've got a fancy leader from like 30k. I bought some custom weapons. I painted one model, and then, you know, life took over, and they're still sat in the box. So yeah, that was one of obviously there were more, but that's probably the one. Which
but what we're hearing is your Alpha Legion are going to come back for Crusade quite soon.
Sounds like that could be a possibility.
That sounds like what we need. But agreed. Yeah, that's a great example. Great example. How about you, Ed or John?
Right. So a big one for me was I bought a load of Imperial Knights in a very cheap secondhand bundle and was like, cool, I'm going to renovate these. Yeah, I did not. I got it got to just before the book dropped. I had two big knights and six little knights, all prime silver, all the panels separately done, took great care and attention to it. And then I think it was I was playing my orcs and I just went, I can't just be distracted. I need to play something. And it was for, I think it was for LGT. I was getting ready for LGT and I went, I'm just going to stick to the orcs. And then the box went in the cupboard. You shut the doors of the cupboard. It doesn't exist. It's gone. Months later, I found them and I was like, yeah, that was a great investment. But I think often my challenge is getting from point A to point B defines whether I'll, like, if it gets to the tabletop,
yes,
it will. Mm. It's not just like a full size 2000 point game, but just something.
Yes.
The fact that nothing of a project can sometimes be finished means it essentially isn't a project, so it just disappears
completely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I think it can be, if it doesn't make it past just the idea stage into something you've got some kind of attachment to, is something you're using and enjoying and out there, it's very easy for a project to die off, especially when, as we've alluded to, there's other stuff we've got to be doing. Competing's a real headache for this because there's always something in a month's time that we need to be ready to do, and it often requires getting some models ready. And once you're in that world, it's quite hard for new projects to break through.
That's exactly. I think that's probably the fundamental reason most projects fail, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be that, or, you know, like you're, you know, we all have that new army feeling. We all experience it. That
it's so good. I love it. I love it.
To build these models and paint them.
Good.
And yeah, it lasts about 2 weeks. And then you're like, now I have to paint 2,000 points. Meanwhile, yeah, you're going to an event a month or whatever, and you're like, oh, actually, the message just changed. I need to get this 500 points painted or whatever. And yeah, all of a sudden, you're like, oh. So, like, for me, I got well aboard the I was really excited for Hypercrypt. I was like, I will definitely paint my monolith. And that was about a month ago. And it's still in its box because, I mean, I haven't been doing any hobbying, but if I had been, it would have been Grey Knights because I actually want to take them onto the tabletop. And, you know, like, I mean, I haven't got any Eldar to paint. I'm waiting for some Fire Dragons to arrive because I'm a trendsetter. But once that's done, then, you know, I'll get those done quickly. But, yeah, like, it's just so easy not to get distracted by a new shiny thing, but just by the realities of trying to be a competitive player, I guess.
Completely. And that's where, again, you have a choice, don't you, between actually trying to carve out time for a new thing to grow. You'd have to say, look, for a couple of months, what if I just didn't book an event and was just on those? I know it could happen. And on a weekend, I might just get some stuff built and painted instead. And then that gives it a chance and some actual space. But if you don't, the chances are other things are going to sweep you up. Ed, you wanted to go, mate.
Yeah, for me. So I'm actually quite good at finishing every project I start because I sit in the, no, genuinely, I sit in the conceptual stage for a really long time.
Okay.
And I will piss about on like TTS and do little bits and pieces. But then I'll go, oh, I've only got 2 weeks to get this army ready for the tournament. And now I've finished my list and I've played like five practice games with it. And then I just don't do anything other than hobby.
Yes.
So, focus.
Yeah. I just go, my life is hobby for the next however much time. And sometimes I have to leave the house to go to work. And that's, yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, me too, bud. Me too. But so usually when I get to the point of doing models, like, it's a done deal. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. The one that I had recently, do I remember correctly, the Imperial Guard book came out in a box, but then the Codex didn't come out for like 2 months after it, so you couldn't play on UKTC.
That's right.
Because I started doing, and you can't see it very well, but this is a converted Renegade Guardsman. And I was going to do an entire Renegade Guard army.
Wow.
The test models that I did look incredible. And then I just picked up Tau again or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
well, yeah.
I should play something that I can actually play at events. And they just sort of sat off to the side. I bought three of those boxes.
I got three
Guard Codices that became irrelevant within 6 months of buying the boxes.
Yes. Yeah, so cool. I think that there's an indication there of what it sometimes takes to actually, if you're trying to get full competitive lists to the project completion stage. I think in my experience, that is exactly what it takes. It takes a period where it essentially takes over your life for some period of days or weeks. And that's quite painful. I don't love it. I'm trying to avoid it at the moment because I think I found it was slightly damaging my enjoyment of the hobby side because it really takes it out of you.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, every hobby I start, new project I start, I'm like, this is going to be my best painted army.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
And after about 500 points, I'm like, you know what? It'll do. This will do. You know, we're just going to, the highlighting gets sloppier and sloppier until there is no highlighting.
What's highlighting, Precious?
And then I've certainly, I mean, I like to paint when it's like individual models and like that sort of thing. But for me, you know, they're not, you go to events and, oh, like, yeah, there's another model broken and that sort of thing. And I'm not in the realms of launching all my models into a giant tub like some people are, but I certainly aren't as careful as other people. And I think, yeah, for me, it's like, actually now, is it worth putting as much effort in?
Yeah, and I think that's where those different motivations kind of clash, don't they? Because there's the motivation, I want to get this on the table, I want to use it because it's good right now and it works right now. And there's also that motivation of, actually, I want to look back at it and like what I see and be pleased with it. And it's not easy to have all those things at once. And sometimes actually maybe having different projects that achieve those goals in different ways is better. If you have one little thing that you're chipping away on painting that isn't in any rush to get anywhere, that gives you a better chance, I think, perhaps. But anyway, we'll come to that. I want to read out Sharuni's story because it's actually a lot like my own. Sharuni says, I actually have my own story to add to this. When I was first getting into 40k in 9th edition, for me it was 8th, my main faction was Death Guard because I loved the lore and the models. Absolute same. Built a full 2k army that I loved only to play it and find out I hated the slow playstyle and tanky focus. Absolute same. As I would learn later, I love fast, aggressive armies. You are my friend, Sharuni. That is exactly the same experience I have with Death Guard. It's why, even though they're good right now, I don't get lured back to them because I just don't love the lack of mobility. It's not really for me. I love Death Guard. I love the Lords of Silence, one of my favorite books. Absolutely huge fan of them and where they sit in the universe, but I just find the playstyle very grating. But what I do like is how my Death Guard army looks. I quite like sloppy, kind of nasty, grimy armies, and that's a style I really enjoy. So they have a place in my heart for that. So it can be a style thing as well. We're going to ignore Jack Tite, who started playing Jakari because he played me with Jakari, and he just wants to play Jakari to demonstrate to me that he's better at Jakari than I am at Jakari. I have no time for you, Jack Tite. You stay away with your Urian Rakarth ideas in our Discord.
That does feel like an army that Jack, that will suit Jack.
Oh, it'll be fun. Jakari. It'll be really fun. And it'll be a good time. Another Archon is always welcome, of course. We need as many as we can get. It's going to be very cool. But Jack, for example, was talking about sisters. I'm just tired of only moving 6 inches. And I get that. Sometimes your army gets repetitive. Sometimes doing the same thing gets repetitive, right?
Yeah.
We have the same thing with me and GSC and Jack Chapman in our chat with GSC. Jack is incredibly interested in GSC right now because he sees the things they can do that he has been trying to do, that solve problems he can't solve with towers. He's been playing them. He sees a whole bunch of opportunities. When I play GSC, I see all the limitations and issues and what's going to happen after I do the cool thing and drop in because I've played it a million times. I know what comes next and I can't be arsed with it at this moment in time. But there's excitement at different places in the game depending on where you currently are. And we all kind of shift around, changing a little bit in what we're interested in, what takes our interest.
I think you might be less interested in them now that we see Tau having a 3-inch deep
strike. And this is actually part of my gripe with GSC is, well, if they just keep giving that exact trick to a bunch of armies that actually are tough and good at other stuff, then it's not going to matter that they've got it. But there we are. he might be a little bit more excited with this Tau now. let's move forwards then to thinking about how you can actually manage and achieve some degree of stability and success with a project. I'm going to leave us room for talking about getting out of a project because I think that's actually equally important. And knowing when to cut and run is something I've certainly not learned.
Yeah.
But if we think about how you can achieve your goals and deliver projects to your own satisfaction, what kinds of things have you guys found have helped you to achieve your goals? We start with you, John.
So my last project, so at the start of 10th, my approach was to continue fleshing out my Marines because I knew there was going to be a shitload of new Marines, but the project was going to be, if I got something come in, it has to be finished. If I buy something, it has to be finished before I buy something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much, I wanted it to be like, everything keeps going.
Who are you?
And if I'm wanting to buy something and I look at it and go, oh, do I buy this? And if I'm not going to think about painting it in the next couple of weeks type of thing, like I've probably hit more than I've missed with it. Because, mm-hmm. like, for instance, the Space Marines Christmas box, I've got three Outriders that I haven't painted out of the box. Mm-hmm. I think that's a win for that box, because mm-hmm. that's not what I bought the box for.
Yeah.
But then, in equal measure, I bought a load of World Eaters anticipating that box. Should not have bought those, because a lot of the sprues are just still sat there. So yep. I feel like if you think you're not getting to it soon, unless it's a real good saving that you think you're definitely going to get back to, I personally don't think you should do the purchasing.
I think you can give yourself more wriggle room when it's limited time Christmas
yeah.
boxes.
Yeah, because there's value. That's the nice thing with those is actually if you buy then and then you end up selling it, you're probably in a good spot anyway, right? Yeah. But I do think, and I have to do this with myself in so many walks of life all the time, where you just sit for even just 10 seconds and go, is that actually a good idea? Let's just interrogate that for a second.
I don't believe for a second that you can sit still introspect for 10 seconds.
I do it sometimes. If I do it, I genuinely do.
With your phone here.
But it is. I think sometimes you have to. So Flesh Eater Courts was the last one for me when those models dropped. I was like, my word, Flesh Eater Courts looks so cool. And I was like, but you've got a ton of Seraphon. It was actually the same as Cities of Sigmar when that came out. They've been putting some armies out in Age of Sigmar in recent times. And with both of those, I had the fallback of, you've got a Seraphon box there. Until that is done, you shouldn't be touching anything else. As much as you love it, will you still care in 2 months? Spoilers, I don't. You get past it. You get past that wave of interest. Okay. Cool. Any other top tips from you, Chris?
This is something I admittedly have never done. However, it really makes sense. So I think people should do this. Try before you buy. Right.
Yes.
Try out. So, if you're a TTS player, play a couple of games with the army online. Build those. Ed's really good at building the lists, doing all that groundwork, and then coming into. Right now, I'm going to print and paint the army. So try on TTS. Even just proxy the models and just have a game with your friend, just to see, how does it work? Does it work? Is this something I'd want? If I'd done that with my GSE, I'm a player who, so like when I play computer games, right, and I'm going along the path and there's another path there, I'll always try and go down the path, which is the one I don't think is where you're supposed to go to carry the story on, just so I can try and collect all the extra treasury bits, right? Yeah. So when I'm playing 40K...
Sorry, you sounded so fucking old. When I play computer games...
All the treasury...
I'm playing Crash Bandicoot.
We had a fantastic game called Pong.
Well, that's not got alternative paths, has it, dickhead? When I'm playing 40K, I like to think about all the options. So when I'm playing an army like GSE, where I was running 35 units and I had to think about what I wanted to deploy, what were going to be the blitz, what would come down first turn, what would come down second turn, etc., etc., that was just so overwhelming for how I like to play tactical games. And I only realized that by playing multiple games with them. Mm-hmm. If I'd practiced some games with just a bunch of random models, or if I'd used TTS back then, that would have certainly helped me out. I can't advise enough. I mean, as I said, I've never actually done it, but it does make sense, doesn't it, to try that army on TTS, or if you're not a TTS player, just get together with a mate, just proxy some models, use crates for Sagittars if you have to, whatever you want.
Leave your army in Telford.
Just don't even bother bringing an army or whatever, naming no names. Yeah. That sort of thing works.
Cause I did that at the end of ninth. I borrowed Necrons to see if they were something I could take to an event to be competitive. It clicked. They're still on my list to do, but...
Yeah. I honestly think for like meta comp now, if it was an army I didn't already play and it was good, I would borrow it. I cannot be arsed with rushing a project. I don't want to cock up a paint job. I do actually, I'm not a good painter or hobbyist, but I enjoy getting it to a place where I feel like I've done it right. And I really dislike armies that I've sort of not quite finished or not done right. And I just think the meta changes so rapidly now. The way that the game changes, it's a mug's game trying to stay ahead of it. Obviously, if you have like deep collections and you can adjust, that's great. But if a whole new army that you don't play happens to be good at this moment in time, I just think I'd borrow it from somebody else if it was remotely possible. And I think, you know, it's very plausible out there. And Tropic Tyranny is asking if I'll buy the Sigmar launch box, knowing I've got a bunch of Seraphon I haven't done. Yeah, Skaven are in that box. We'll come back. We'll come back and see. We have a Skaven in it. It's going to be tough, isn't it, in Tropic Tyranny? It's going to be difficult for me. Maybe I'll do my Seraphon like I'm supposed to.
You could just swap to Age of Sigmar and be the best player in the world.
Yeah, probably.
Do they have any good players?
That's what I'm hearing.
This is hey, I'm on the internet. I'm allowed to make statements about things that I know nothing about. That's that's not true. My old WoW raid leader was a very good Age of Sigmar player, better than I am at 40k. So shots fired, Tom. If you ever see this, Tom Morsley.
Goodness. He was only captain of England at one point, like last year or the year before, mate.
Like I said, better than me. But shots fired. Your game bad. Fucking oof.
Nice. That's fair. We'll come for the AOS community. Amazing. That seems reasonable. Spencer Owen says that he has a rule where if he's playing with unpainted models and he needs to paint at least one unit before he plays the next game, that helps him. Yeah, I think little rules like that is great. I actually don't really play with unpainted models, and that's been a rule that has at least kept me vaguely on a level with doing it. I very rarely actually ever feel them, and that's helped me with projects. And another thing that John and I always did locally was we would do slow growth type stuff, so crusade or campaigns or leveling up from small points, right? Which I think if you're playing locally and you're relatively new is a wonderful way of getting there with a project, and it scales you up. And the nice thing with that again is you kind of are trying before you buy, because if you painted 500 points and played it, you learn you don't like it, that's fine. You've not bought in as much, and you've not invested too much as well by way of time. So I really recommend that if you're not purely in the comp mindset. And certainly for our respective new projects that John and I are starting, Crusade is on our radar as our way of getting that into action a bit sooner and starting to test all of that out. So that's certainly one way that I sort of get a foot in the door with a project before sort of running out of steam with it.
Book events. Just book an event.
And this is the big thing.
Yeah. From age 8 to 17, I went to zero events. I had zero fully painted armies during that time. Do you understand how much money I spent on Warhammer as a child? I don't know where I got the money from, but my God, did I fucking spend it. And I used to sell an army to fund the next army, which in retrospect, awful way of doing it. Yeah. But I had so many armies. I had so many Marine armies. And just never the same models. It was here's a Marine army, sell it. Here's a new Marine army. Never fully painted. And then came back to the hobby. Every army I collect is for an event, and now they are all fully painted.
That was a success I had with Age of Sigmar finally last year. Yeah. I'd spent 5 years battling to try to get a single army painted, mm-hmm. booked in two events. Suddenly I had 1,000 points for the first event, 2,000 for the second. Done.
Yeah. I think sometimes it can be the sort of the sharpener or the focus that you need. Just don't put Night Lords on the options for when you're getting the community to vote for what army you take to Gloomhammer. When you have no Night Lords, you literally have your test models and nothing else, because that can really end in tears. Within reason, book events. Don't book events when you've got nothing, but book events when you're I just need that kick to get me the rest of the way.
And with enough of a run-up, don't book one next weekend and go, I'll finish off that 1,000 points, unless you're Ed and
exactly what Davey did.
Yes.
Yeah, and then get the wrong day.
That is heartbreaking, by the way.
It's pretty funny.
For anyone who doesn't know, Davey was on the show painting models. He wasn't meant to be there. He was filling in. He was painting models because he had such a tight deadline to finish an entire army, 1,500 points of a 2,000-point army, because he'd bought a Lord of Skulls fully painted beautifully. And he did it over, I think it was 8 days or something.
Incredibly impressive, yeah.
Yeah. And then we get a message in the WhatsApp, and he goes, I've got the day wrong, lads. The RTT's on Sunday. Immediate thought from everyone's oh, cool, you've got one more day to finish things up. I can't do Sunday.
It's Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day. I have a small child and a wife. Well.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Fair play to him. That's the right decision to not even try. But
he got a good family day and a painted army, so I think it's a successful week.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a question from Entropic Tyranny, which is, do you batch paint a whole army at once, or do you a unit at a time? I do a unit at a time. I like unit at a time. That's the way I actually enjoy painting, is if it's one thing, be that five guys or a vehicle.
Yeah.
Is the right number. Anything above that, you just get so fucking bored.
Completely.
And if I'm getting bored of painting the scheme, I'll take a break and stop building the next batch just so that I've got some sort of variation boss still progress.
That's why so many of my armies have different color schemes in them. Like my Gordodons are a mix of gold, black, and white. When I very briefly started a failed project of Sisters of Battle, I had like my Battle Lion Sisters were the blue ones, and then the Seraphim were white, the Zephyrim were black. They've all got the same basing, and they've got the same like secondary, tertiary colors and that, but I just like to have... So for my Grey Knights, my Paladins are going to be a different silver. It helps my opponent as well. But yeah, just I like to keep changing up the schemes in different ways.
Every Bretonian knight is going to be a different paint scheme.
They genuinely are.
Yeah, with each of our faces on, don't forget. Mine's going to have a phone. It's going to be great.
no face, just a phone. A red phone.
like my Eldar, for example, my colours are pink, white and blue. And so I've got like my Stooping Hawks, I've got different coloured tabards, my Warp Spiders, I've got a pink unit, a white unit, a blue unit. That's kind of how I've...
Finding ways to make it fun for yourself, isn't it? Which I think is another way of doing it. And so that's something like, if you just paid a bunch of inventory on your board, do a centrepiece model or do a character or do something different. I think it's nice to have to break the projects up by sort of switching between different things. That's certainly what I'm going to do with this. I've got 5 infantry done for the orcs now, so I'm going to do like a vehicle or a big character or something and just kind of start fleshing out a range of options, because that way you don't get settled too much. I do think having a hobby set up which means you can do a project easily is good. Like, I mean, know thyself. Is there a nice simple scheme you can do? Is there a nice airbrush scheme? Is there a nice contrast or slap chop scheme? There's a whole bunch of ways you can do hobbying so much quicker now. So don't make it too complicated for yourself, unless the art is the point, right? Unless doing something really fancy is the point. And this is especially true with competitive armies, where, you know, getting it to a basic and ready place so you can use it. If that's your motivation, then do something relatively straightforward. Play Custodes, basically, I think is a good choice in that instance, because then it's nice and easy to paint.
Also, if you... I don't play many of them computer games that Chris was speaking about.
Video games.
You called them computer games. That's why I said you sounded old
like
man.
Like a big dweeb.
I don't play as much online as I used to, but when I was doing a lot and I had an army to play, I don't have a dedicated hobby space. I've just got my desk. So what I do is I just leave all my stuff on my desk, and I'd get home and be like... God, it's going to take me like a whole 5 minutes to clear that off if I want to play some Counter-Strike. I guess I'll just chip away at some more models and not bother. So that removed temptation for me, because I'm like, it's more effort to not do the thing that I need to do.
Yeah, this is why I have my little hobby shelves to the side of the workspace, which is like, you just always, if there's something that's not finished, you just pop it on there, and then you'll be working. You'll just look at it and go, oh, I might add XYZ today and just do a little bit extra to it. And then it just stays on until it's ready to come off and you've actually done enough to it. So I think, yeah, keeping it sort of vaguely visible in your mind is definitely a good one. And then let's talk about getting out, because I think getting out at the right time is also an art form. When is it time to call it quits, and how does one do that? What are the easy options here? Because I think there's a bunch of easy options.
should I take the lead on this one?
Yes, you
should.
This
isn't 40K, but so for our league, our little slow grow that we're doing between us, I may have started out with high elves, and I may have flirted with ogres, but I wasn't really thinking about them. I'm just playing them in an online league. And then I was like, Chaos Dwarves, that's it for me. I love them. They've got like a halberd that's also a gun. Incredible. Both high elves and Chaos Dwarves, I was in. I've got over 2,000 points of High Elves painted, primed, and a little bit painted. I've got a lot of Chaos Dwarves printed. And both of them, I just played some games with them and went, this ain't it, Super Chief. So I bailed pretty much immediately as soon as I knew. And that was because I knew that we had a deadline to stick to as much as possible. And I wanted to... I'm not pointing any fingers. And... I had a deadline that I wanted to make sure that I could do something else before. So I was like, cool, play 2 games with this. It doesn't spark joy. I'm doing something else. Sorry, guys. 2 weeks later, Chaos Dwarves. it hasn't sparked joy. I'm doing something else. You know what the funny thing is? I'm doing orcs. I haven't played any games with orcs yet, so...
May they spark joy.
I'm confident they will. I've looked at them and gone, yeah, these are the things I like. This is... And going back, actually, I think Chris's example previously, when he was talking about the branching paths, was a really good way of thinking about the game, because I've realized that the way I enjoy winning games is by removing... my opponent's choices, whereas someone like Tom enjoys having a million choices. Yeah. I prefer just to say, you've got three choices and all of them are bad for you. Suck it.
Those are the armies I hate because they do that. And they're like, okay, exactly. Now we all have to do this one thing. Brilliant. Okay, what a good time that is.
In the matchup between the remove options and the have options usually win, as we've discovered over the years as we've played each other.
It's a dance, though, isn't it? It's a dance.
It is, and I am interested in Eldar, so I may have to dig them out at some point, but not for teams and not for Manchester, so we'll see. Down the line, maybe.
John, getting out of a project. How did you do it? When did you do it?
When you look in a box and go, oh, shite, there's that whole pile of stuff. And then I go, let's actually clear some space and just sell the stuff. If it's still on sprues, it's just recycling like in that stage. And then put that towards something, whether that's a project you want to actually do or maybe actually doing something like going outside and doing other things, perhaps.
But nerd outside fucking loser.
Or in my case, sell stuff and then instantly buy a new project, because apparently that's the healthy way for it to go.
That is still healthier than not getting rid of stuff to make way, which is this is something I definitely try and do now. I know it was something I was doing over the sort of the summer last year. It was like, there's a bunch of stuff which has not even got off the ground, right? And it's like, it's time to sell those things. It's a bunch of Imperium magazines, a bunch of Sisters of Battle, all sorts of random odds and ends, and you're like, this isn't going to happen. So if I clear that out, I can feel good when I next get that sense of something I'm excited about. And I think that's very useful. The good news, if you are sat on a project, is that this stuff retains quite a remarkable amount of value in this hobby, because we're all obsessed and we all care too much about it. So you can sell secondhand, you can sell, there's all kinds of, you know, there's WhatsApps for selling, there's online sites for selling.
Well, you can't fucking get it firsthand, can you? So you may as well.
And so it's very easy to move these things on. And I often will, if there's a project where I'm on the fence about it, I'll just think, and like, when was the last time I actually used it? I think this was AOS Ogres when I got rid of them. I was like, when did I last actually play those?
That's why the orcs went for me.
Yeah, as much you're like, it's time.
Green skins.
Someone else could be having fun with that. I'm not having fun with that. Yeah. And so it's a good time. Sharuni says, I have like 3k points of ad mech. I don't know what to do. Yeah.
The 3k of ad mech won't do anything, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It depends. Is it the right 3k?
The answer will be no.
It's not. It never is. That's their secret. Chris, you got any pointers for getting out of project when it's time?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's about, so if I have these like small little projects or whatever, barring the Alpha Legion, actually most of my projects usually do come into like fruition. I will get an army going. Yeah. And then obviously you don't play it for a while and it comes down to that decision of, do I sell it or not?
Yeah.
Because inevitably there is that sentimentality attached to your various projects. So it's about, can you separate that from the reality of, are you going to play them? So, for example, for me with Necrons, as Ed and I have waxed lyrical many a time about how we much.
I was a lad.
In 8th edition, right? I didn't play Necrons in 9th edition. So, we're coming into 10th edition. I'm like, well, I haven't played this army for like 4 years. And I'm like, it makes sense to sell it. But I had such a sentimental attachment because I'd invested all that time into painting an army that I had so much fun with. Mm. But I had managed to prepare myself just to that logical conclusion that when the book drops, if I don't like any of the book and I don't see myself playing it, I will shift the army.
Yeah.
As it was, actually, I did like some of the stuff, so I have played the army and et cetera. And that's actually where I'm at with the ad mech at the moment.
Yeah.
I played ad mech for, you know, you know, like a year, half a year in 9th edition when they were really good. And then I actually played them again right at the end of 9th edition and really when they weren't as good, but I really, really enjoyed it. Obviously, they're now a very different style. I don't own the good stuff, so I don't own Breachers and I don't own Dragoons. And as Tom says, that's how they get you, right? Mm. Admech are one of those armies which take quite a while to paint. Point versus pound, they're an extremely expensive army to paint. And if I wanted, and I, you know, there are elements of Admech that I know I would enjoy playing, but in order to do that, I probably need to invest another £300-400 and then paint it all just to get that onto the table. And I'm not at all willing to do that. So then I'm like, do I just sell it? But then again, it's, I guess there's that skill of knowing when to sell.
Yes, there is.
Like Admech, not exactly high on the radar. I can't imagine there are too many people out there looking to spend, I mean, what, I'm talking ballpark here, but it's quite a well-painted and fleshed out 4K, 1,500 quid. If you are, drop me a message. But I can't think there are too many. And it's like, well, I'm not going to get value. I could probably shift the army for like 600 quid, but that's a terrible decision. So for me, about when I think about whether to shift it, can I remove that sentimentality, first of all? If I still have that sentimental attachment, fair enough, it's probably not worth it. I will try again later. And then it's, am I going to get value, any sort of value for this? And do I see myself playing it? You know, if I think about my armies, I always keep my Custodes. I love the Custodes, but I'm not in, again, all Custode builds at the moment are all infantry. I don't own those models. I have no interest in building and painting those models. So I'm not going to be pushing that until bikes become really good again. Fingers crossed for the codex. The Admech, not replaying. Necrons, the Eldar, obviously I have lots of that and I really enjoy that. So my Grey Knights are the ones who I'm kind of building up at the moment. And then I've got the World Eaters, which was a terrible decision.
Yes.
All you have to do, mate, wait for the 10th edition Admech Codex. That'll come out at some point. It'll be really fun and interesting, right? Guys, please.
At some point, they'll drop the points so that you can spend even more money on getting shit models into your... Unless they bring back planes. If we could bring back, like, you know, six planes.
No.
Yeah? No. Guys?
But
guys?
We have orc planes.
Orc planes? I can see at least three behind me.
I own so many orc planes.
Like, that three-year cycle, if you have to wait for the new codex, if you've just had one, if you're waiting that long, that, to me, if you suddenly go, well, actually, I don't really want to wait that long, that's, to me, telling it's a time to go.
Yeah, I do think thinking in those terms and remembering the kind of cycles that we have, where it's literally, it's 3 years of playing the game this way. Yeah. And it, and you know, there'll be tweaks and changes here and there, but it's like if the overall character setting system is a mile off. Yeah. And the other thing to remember with it is that, as we've talked about and alluded to, and as is pretty obvious from the sheer number of projects we've already name-checked today, the starting is the best bit. And you can get excited about it and start it all over again in many years' time, if you so wish. You've got a long time with this hobby and this game. You don't have to stay sat on everything that you've done. And it can be a nice opportunity. I mean, I certainly find with quite a few of my armies, one of the gripes I have with them is just that they were painted by me 3 years ago and they don't look that great because I wasn't, you know, there's a bunch of shortcuts you learn that help you to paint better further on. So you get to apply all those lessons if you revisit things.
I'm on the other side of the argument. I think you should never sell any of your hobby. You should always keep
never. Yep. Never any of it. Okay.
Never, ever. Well, if you're a magpie like me, because you will, within the next 2 to 3 years, come back and play the same army and go, fuck, I wish I had. Insert the 15 Thunderwolf Cavalry I bought when I was 15, back when they were a new codex. I'd love to have those right now. I don't really want to play them to the point of, like, building an entire army. But if I had 15 Thunderwolf Cav sitting around, I'd be like, I think I'm going to run them out for a GT.
You should. Pretty good list. Yeah, any army I've got a genuine attachment to, I do just make sure I've got space for it and put it somewhere else. But sometimes it can be recognizing it's just going on the bench for a long time, right, and out of the way. Because I think having a narrower focus of projects helps you to enjoy the ones that you do have in rotation, as it were. I found this when I moved to Cambridge for work last year. I just took the Votan and was like, oh, Oh, it's amazing how much you get done when you concentrate on one flipping thing rather than like every time I leave the house, I take a different army to play a different list. It's like I'm literally just playing these 12 data sheets for like 6 months. It was very good for me, actually, in terms of actual focus and getting stuff done. So it can be really good to just have a sense of what's on your roster and what's on the bench, as it were, as well.
Real life as well, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
We need money sometimes, we need space sometimes. Yeah. If we all lived in giant mansions and could lock away the projects we weren't interested in a basement somewhere and not worry about money, we would all do that, and then it would come out at some point.
If you want to fund our giant mansion, become a member today. It's not too late. You can do it right now.
We're so close, guys. So close.
If we had the funds, would you all move into a 6++ mansion?
Yes, no. I would do that. Yes, I would do that. That would be really funny.
No, because I've seen how Tom really... lives.
Oh, out of nowhere.
Because it would be like living with myself. It's horrible.
I'm a tidy and well-behaved young man.
One day,
no one can prove otherwise.
One day we will be like Tabletop Tactics, who had a £100,000 studio crowdfunded by their family.
Any day now. One member sign up at a time.
If you can do it next week, I'll move and, you know, get right on that.
One day we will have a studio, guys.
That'll be really fun.
Snip it. One day.
Clip it. Yep. All right, we'll do it. Yep. That'll be really fun. Right, cool. Any parting shots before we move on from projects? I think, as has hopefully been demonstrated, we don't have all the answers for you here. We are still very much stumbling our way through this life.
As we do.
But just enjoy it. Have a think about it. Do reflect. Do be self-aware of what you're doing and sort of weigh up where you've gone wrong in the past and how you can improve. And I think it's just nice to have a self-aware engagement with it, but don't stop falling in love with new things, because it's great. It's what we do this for.
Yeah, this isn't one that I can say from personal experience, but for other people, I think it's good to know your limitations and work to those. I wouldn't know what that's like, but
yeah, I wouldn't either. If I ever hit them,
I'll let you know.
Good grief, my limitations. Who knew? Wonderful. Okay, we're going to move it on. We're going to take it to a podcast questions place. Please do shout out in the chat if you have podcast questions. You can leave us a super chat if you're so minded. Do consider signing up to be a member as well, and I'll read us a few out of the old Discord. I can't remember exactly where you guys got up to last time.
Anything from 6th of March, I think, was the
Wonderful, cool. Yeah, so
it's the last one that we haven't done.
So Tai Chi asks, how would you nerf the OP faction guard?
Remove indirect fire from the game. Fuck them. Let it all fucking burn.
Or if they do have indirect,
they're
do not
expecting
let them have
one of us in the wreckage, brother.
or have that indirect be improved in any way. So they have to just shoot with the kind of the limitations of indirect, rather than full rerolls and the order.
Indirect should hit on sixes with no rerolls. Change my mind.
Don't disagree.
I've still not actually played against guard.
In one of those places, the current actual data and outcomes in the game simply does not paint a picture that says they need to be nerfed. As much as I'd love to, I don't like that artillery list. I don't like the way that plays, but I literally write up what wins every week, and we look at all the stats every week, and it's just not in a place where I can say there's enough evidence. I know the best versions of it are horrific to play into. I know the best versions of it are very, very hard to win against, especially when they go first. But again, they're not winning everything. Not everyone is playing it. And until that was the case, I don't think I see a need for heavy nerfs on it. We know our thoughts on indirect, because I think we all have very similar thoughts on indirect. Mm. But that's more of an overall 10th health thing, and I don't think...
Well. You lot didn't let me put it in the fucking 101 room.
No.
So wankers.
The reality is they're probably going to do what they did to the Whirlwind list for Ironstorm and just point it so that you can't have all the toys. That's all they're going to do, I think.
It's already nearly there. You've got lists taking two manticores where they would have taken three before. Shiruni says, oh no, to be clear, Tom, we're just petty. Yeah, okay, fair enough. If it's for spite, then... Yeah,
Tom Petty.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's a couple more books and it might not seem to matter that much. I can't imagine Manticore's like 3-inch deep striking fusion blaster suits very much.
Yeah, but you're forgetting that Custodes are getting a book and a new Forge World indirect fire piece. I'm sure that'll be coming.
But literally just shoots Alaris Terminators.
Oh.
Alaris Terminator lands on your Manticore and starts smashing it.
We're keeping it. That's so much better than the Goblin Doom Divers I have on the printer right now.
Oh no.
It's just a Custodes coming in on a giant parachute.
Just flying.
That's amazing.
Right, okay. Next up we have, if you could port in a model or squad from AOS or 30K into 40K, which one would you choose?
Ooh. Used to love the Custodes models and then they eventually did it and that's all I needed. But I think the AdMech 30K side.
That's very nice. Yeah,
some really cool AdMech 30K stuff. So, and you know, hey, that might actually make AdMech good. So, do that, Games Workshop.
The Atramentar Terminators, the Night Lords Terminators, are pretty sweet. I do like those.
Inner Circle Companions, because that would be a unit I would love to have in the game. Because sounds like a great name for a unit that should exist in 40K. Mm.
I don't know.
Are you making a point about Dark Angels again? Is that what this is?
God, Tom, it's a unit that's so bad, you take Blade Guard instead because they're cheaper and they do the better job. So cool. But they also do have really cool Terminators that are Inner Circle Companions that look badass that I'd always like to see.
Forgeful Dreadnoughts.
Some... Yeah, that's a good shout.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the Leviathan and
Remember the Leviathan?
There's my Leviathan.
I remember Leviathan. Glad I wasn't really was playing competitively at the time.
What these
when
guns,
I started
guys?
Playing competitively, you have a really rough couple of months where you learn that actually to play the game, you need a bunch of models that are from a website you didn't even know existed.
These are official, I'll have you know.
A couple of...
And it ends in .china.
A couple of good shouts.
I still have... 3 Forge World Chaplain Dreadnoughts.
Oh,
Forge World.
Nice. A couple of good shouts in the chat. Sharuni would like more goblins for orcs. Yeah, I think more goblins in 40K orcs would be good fun, actually. Just mad cap things. Clever Invective Actual reckons squicks. Votan should have just been Skaven 40K. I'm here for that. I think Skaven would be quite fun in 40K. You'd have to find a way to flavor them, but I think that could definitely work.
Hurud.
I don't know what that is. Is that Skaven?
Allegedly. No.
Okay.
Is it?
Yes.
Aren't they more like elephant-faced things? Or am I misremembering?
So, Gordy the Guru, this isn't so much a question as a statement. Mm-hmm. There is a question in it, and it's, surely it's time to ditch Feel No Pain. Can't we just adjust toughness/wounds to hit rolls instead? Think of the time we'd all save. As someone who always makes more Feel No Pains than he should, I'm not going to. I insist. I want those. I like Feel No Pains. They're important.
I'd be all right with them going away. You know, the fucking room 101 ignore modifiers going away, but just making the game balanced around not needing modifiers.
Yeah,
that sort of just it's not necessary.
I like 5-up Feel No Pains, and anything beyond that I find cancerous. But 5-up saves against things just add that bit of unpredictable variance that I quite enjoy.
Yeah. As soon as you get more, really balanced when you put it on Catan.
Yeah. I don't hate Catan. Actually, I don't mind Catan. I'm enjoying Catan. The best Necrons list that's been doing the rounds, piloted by the best Necron player, hasn't touched Catan. He's not gone anywhere near them. And everyone else is just having fun with Catan, and it's not the optimal way to do it.
I think it might have been before, you know, the whole modifiers change.
Maybe.
But then it changed, and now they die.
Yeah.
Shucks.
Next up, we have... Now that we know how many data cards are in the new Tau Codex, which units does everyone think have been retired to make room for the new Kroot?
Do we know how many there are?
I don't, but they do.
Yeah. Oh.
What Tau units would you
there's
retire?
Something like between 6 to 8 are getting retired.
Okay.
On a Tau Facebook page.
And we're gaining the three suit types? At least.
Yeah.
Feels unnecessary.
So, I don't know what would be going then.
The Kroot Shaper has gone, but it's been replaced by 3 characters.
Yeah, so I struggle to see there being much of a retraction, yeah. I don't know how
they get rid of some of the shit characters. Like there's three.
Oh, the guy in the wheelchair, the hologram.
Maybe Ornvar's finally going.
His model is not available, and it's been out of rotation.
Yeah, so maybe it's some ones like that. Some of the resiny extras.
Breaches and strikes could be loaded into one data sheet. That doesn't need to be two. That could very easily become just a single data sheet, and there's really no need to have both.
Sure.
What else?
Is that Evara thing still around? Get rid of that.
That's all Forge World, and they wouldn't have been the Codex, so...
TAC drones probably go.
Maybe the drones,
You don't get drones as an actual unit, because they are tokens now, full stop.
There's a lot of there's a lot of characters.
Yeah, Jax maybe. Said the one resin figure that's still available is the sniper dude that's there.
Oh, maybe him. Yeah.
Darkstrider's plastic now.
He's plastic now, yeah.
I built one earlier. Spoilers.
We are not experts on the Tau range, as you may have gathered. John's about to be. That's the journey. It's the journey he's starting down, but he's not
quite
there.
The Tau player.
He is quite the Tau player.
I looked at the rules and I was like, "Oh, this looks more like 9th edition Tau than anything I've seen before."
It'll be fun. I think it'll be very good.
I just needed friends to go with my crew army, just to justify it being called a Tau army.
Our next question is from Bloodrender, who asks, why do we all end up having too many projects on the go, asking for a friend?
Enthusiasm.
It's the addiction of plastic.
Yeah.
You're like,
it's incredibly addictive.
Of that excitement, isn't it? You know, it's the same with anything in life. You get into that new hobby. That
because you're weak.
Whatever. It's,
your bloodline is weak. Yeah. Your willpower is weak. Finish the goddamn... Look.
Look,
man. Finish your fucking projects. Get it done.
Ask Bloodrender how his Ossiok Bone Reaper's army's doing. That's the one.
Oh,
make it feel seen.
I think he's relatively disciplined, Bloodrender. In the grand scheme, you could always be worse, Bloodrender. You could be me. Our next question is from Ultimate Funk, who asks, how to approach playing a regular bogey opponent? We've all got those players we play a lot who get the same kind of results or locally, but.
Since Tom's gone, I'll just say bring tissues with you. If you've got a snotty opponent, ask them, you know, bring sanitizer, tissues, all of the usual ways to improve someone's hygiene at the table is probably a good sort of routine. You dipped out there, buddy, so
I know I'm back. Did you, what bit of it did you get?
Okay, opponent. I said it's the answer is tissues and hand sanitizer. I think he's gone again. If we go with the actual answer, anyone got any opponents that are better than them that they regularly play? This is, again, not something I'd understand, but...
So I normally just bring what I want to play with and establish that I'm probably going to lose, but try my best and just make sure that we're both having fun, because then
that's
at least
a loser's mentality.
I'm not frustrated. Yeah, but I can't always take orcs into Tom's Eldar, because that was the only times I really had a chance there. In 8th edition.
Let's try again. Let's try that one more time.
As a natural born winner, Chris, what would you be your approach?
So I think, I mean, there's certainly absolutely players who I've kind of like played before and I'm like, oh, I should be winning this, but I keep losing. I think it's about, it depends on the situation as well. So for example, in friendly games, we've spoken a lot about this before, but actually having those expectations. I know I don't play anywhere near as well in a friendly game as I do in the tournament game. So it might all be just that you're coming at it with kind of like different expectations. But I guess, I mean, the basic answer would be try to tackle it in a different way. You know, if you're playing the same matchups and you keep losing because you're doing the thing that you feel right, and maybe it'll work this time. Well, actually, clearly it isn't. So my bogey player is Jamie East. Every time
God bless
Jamie East, he does some absolute bullshit. Like, I don't know what it is, but generally involves some sort of charge or multiple charges or something where you pull out all the stops.
Oh my God, he's your wig character.
My 11-inch charge.
You wait for the first skit, it literally is based around Jamie East. so yeah, he's my boat. But you know what? trying to approach the games in a different way, try and change up your tactics, I guess, would be my thought.
And if someone regularly beats you, the person who will know best why they beat you is them. So ask them as well. Find out what's happening in games. If someone's got your number or seems to have your number in games, it's going to be something you're consistently doing that they understand and have play around, or they're getting lucky. And either way, find out, ask them, find out. I think it's interesting to talk to people and see it from their side. And I think there's always, yeah, certain players, just the interaction between their styles is just, it's just not good, right? And sometimes someone comes out worse in that engagement. But it's, yeah, you're certainly going to be benefiting, I think, if you ask them and find out what you're doing that's giving them the upper hand. Great. Okay. I'm back now, so that's good. And I think we're nearly at the end. So SD asks, teaching a friend 40k, going in via combat patrols on TTS at first. He's keen to play Imperial Knights, which don't have a combat patrol, so we'll have to graduate to 1k lists on TTS fairly rapidly. I've never played at 1k. What are some considerations for list building, especially with skew lists like Knights? Yeah.
You're probably quite good.
I think Knights are going to be very good at 1k, and the problem you're going to have as the friend playing with the friend that wants to learn to play the game and wants to play Knights is you can write two types of lists at 1k. You can write a 1k list that can kill a big knight, or you can write one that can't. And that's how your game will go. And that's probably a bit of an issue with 1k level Knights, I think, for learning the game, and possibly with Knights for learning the game full stop, whatever scale you play on. Is that they're a bit skewy, and I think you'll just have to kind of explain to your friend in that sense. It's like, look, like if we're playing, I can either have something that's got a bunch of anti-tank and it'll go X, Y, Z ways, or I can't, and we can kind of see what those two games are like, because I think that's kind of how it goes with Knights, really.
I think there is one other option, is you actually do Knights versus Knights.
Ooh.
It's the only way it's going to work for you, because you both play with the same silly mechanics that at least it levels it, whilst otherwise... True. Space Marines at 1,000 points, unless you really load it, you're not going to have enough to deal with it.
The actual answer is Craig offhand said, oh, I'm kind of interested in Eldar. So for the last sort of week, I've been going, Craig, play some fucking Eldar. This is the perfect time for you to bust out Eldar at 1,000 points. And you play the game of try not to get tabled by 1,000 points of Imperial Knights. And also try to stop them scoring any primary, dance around them, make them incredibly frustrated. And he will either become a much more competitive player for it or quit entirely. And that's fine because, you know, the blood of the week will be on your hands and it makes you a stronger man.
Yeah, 3D cannons fits into 1K effortlessly.
Don't take any damage. Only take mobility.
Just all scoring. Okay, I like it.
Play like a pure crystal list. Just all I've got is scoring. I've got MSU, multiple small units. And go, I'm not going to even shoot you.
Yeah. Triple Hawks. Triple warp spider.
Well, it's 1K, so it's only double, but it's two warp spiders.
Oh, you only have two.
Oh, yeah.
Two hawks, two fucking Shadow Spectres. Go Yunari so you can take two Scourges as well.
Do it. That sounds fun. Clever Invector says IK isn't really a good army to learn 40K, and I'm inclined to agree. I don't think it plays by enough of the rules to necessarily get a hang of the game properly.
When I've shown people it from scratch, I've done it with Space Marines and limited what we've had each just so that it was learning the basic structures correctly. And I think that could help, at least for the first game.
Absolutely. Wonderful. We have one more question from Gordon Chung. And he asked, Death Guard still don't feel particularly tanky, but apart from Feel No Pains, how would you make the Nurgly boys feel more Nurgly?
Oh, probably plus one toughness and minus one movement. That's a great fucking mechanic. Absolute knobheads. Like, who fucking wrote that rule?
Used to be minus one to wound.
There used to be minus one damage in 8th edition.
Minus one damage was the big one in 8th.
Oh, minus one damage.
It was 5 up Feel No Pain in 8th edition. Yeah. Minus one damage in 9th edition.
Yeah.
Then plus one toughness and minus one move in an edition where toughness shot all the way up.
Yeah. I think probably the contagions is the way, and I'll be interested to see with the Death Guard Codex, for example, whether you have different detachments unlocking different contagions and interplay with different things in that sense, and all sorts of different debuffs. I think debuffy is good. I like it. It's not that they're not tanky at all. They are perfectly durable, but they're not sort of the raw, pure, durable boys of the past. I think it's the Terminators that suffer the most. I'd like to see Death Shroud and Blight Lords given some unit specific rules that make them tough, because they should be tough. They are the, you know, the epic durable mini hero guys. Plague Marines don't need to be tough. They're fine in the place that they're at. I think they're quite, they've got quite a nice role. So I think it's just making a couple of the standout units, like the Terminators in particular, feel more durable. And then I think you wouldn't have that many complaints overall.
I think they need some shooting durability. Like, that's kind of where I feel they really suffer. Because they've got the melee durability in that they've got, like, the fight first. Mm. They've got their combat tricks. So maybe some sort of durability against shooting only would make them feel better in terms of...
Minus one to hit.
Well, they have that on tap, yeah.
I was going to say that, but, like, it's just not...
It just feels... It can be so easily negated.
Yeah, all the factions that are good either hit on twos or just, like, reroll hits, you know, for an entire army, or lethal hits, sustained hits. There's so many ways to increase your efficiency that minus one to hit is not actually meaningful.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, hopefully they find ways to add variety in the book. I think that'll be an interesting book in that sense. They've been taken in quite a promising direction. But I guess you could have the Plague Surgeons Feel No Pain go from 6 up to 5 up, so him plugging in with Plague Marines gives you an actual slab of increased durability. You could have Plague Surgeon able to go with Terminators. Again, that gets you towards having a big durable slab. I think those kinds of options. But it's, yeah, I think Death Guard being able to project debuffs and do more damage, which is what they get now, is nice. There's lots of upside to that. I think probably they're in the best spot competitively they've been. And those durability type builds, although Death Guard players long for it, you all know what happened. You got through two players that couldn't answer that question, then you hit the three players that could answer that question, and you don't want to play an army that only asks one question. It's boring, it's a tough life, it's rubbish, and then you get found out. And I think Death Guard are more dynamic now for making less of their points be in durability and freeing them up to other stuff. So I think it's a net positive, really, I'd say. Cool. All right, I think we're done. Unless anyone wants to shoot any final questions in the chat, we are going to say goodnight. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been loads of fun. We will see you all again next time out. Bye-bye.